So good morning.
If you have your Bible, you want to open up to Genesis chapter 6. I want to start reading in verse 13. Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. We read, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it: the length of the ark 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all the food which is edible and gather it to yourself. It shall be for food for you and for them.' Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him." So he did. You know, this last week I've been thinking a lot about Noah and his family. Noah, his wife, they had three sons, and the three sons had wives. And so we've got eight people total who are stuck on the ark. And it's interesting to me. I think sometimes as we read the historical account here in the book of Genesis, it only spans three chapters. And yet we forget how long they were on the ark. You'll notice in chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of the earth.' And he says, 'For after seven more days, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made.' Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him." So God comes to Noah, he says, "Go ahead and get on the ark, because in seven more days, the rain's going to start. And the waters are going to rise, the flood is going to come, and I'm going to use this to cleanse the earth," right? And if you jump down to verse 11, we see that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open and the floodgates of the sky were open. So the flood starts on the 17th day of the second month of Noah's 600th year. But they've already been on the ark for 7 days, awaiting this to happen. And of course, it rains for 40 days and 40 nights, and the water prevails upon the earth for 150 days before it begins to recede. But notice with me, turn over to chapter 8 in verse 13. Because we read there, "Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth." So it's been almost a year now that Noah and his family have been on the ark. And we think, oh, all right, they're going to get off. But actually, we keep reading in the text, because in verse 14 it says, "In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. And then God spoke to Noah, saying, 'Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you, and bring out everything that you've brought on the ark.'" And so we read there then that all of Noah and his family, finally, on the 27th day of the second month of the 101st year of his life, come off the ark. So they've been on the ark for over a year, confined to this ship. In fact, if my calculations are correct, it's a year and 17 days total that they spent on the ark. I think, man, that is a long time to be confined in any space. Now, granted, the ark was pretty big, as we read there, with three levels on it, but it's crowded. There's a lot of animals on the ark, along with just these eight people. And you think about, you know, a stay-at-home order. I mean, that's pretty intense right here, right? Stuck on this ark for a year and 17 days. And no doubt it felt very cramped on the ark. And I wonder to myself, you know, being on the ark for this long, did these eight individuals, did they start to get on one another's nerves a little bit over this year and 17 days that they are stuck together? I have to believe that they didn't always get along. I mean, think back to the last time you were with any of your extended family in one area for a certain amount of time. Maybe it was over the holidays or something like that, and you're spending maybe several days with your extended family altogether. You're ready to be done at the end of that few days, aren't you? You're ready to go back and have your own space and your own family and your own time. And so I can imagine that things might have gotten a little bit tense on the ark from time to time. Now, there was no doubt plenty of things that they could do on the ark to keep them busy. They certainly had all the animals that they needed to feed and then probably clean up after, as well as, you know, cleaning and preparing food for themselves and taking care of themselves and things like that. But think about the fact that they didn't have things like TV. They didn't have news to watch. They didn't have access to social media. They couldn't get on and scroll through Facebook or look at Instagram or watch YouTube videos. They didn't have video games, guys, to be able to play, to entertain themselves. They probably didn't even have books, really, back then. The ancient evidence seems to indicate that writing was done on clay tablets or something like that. You know, paper hadn't been invented yet. So they probably don't even have books to read to entertain themselves. They certainly don't have phones that they can kind of lose themselves in. And the reality is even if they did have phones or TV or social media, the reality is it wasn't like there was anybody else out there who they could communicate with. We read in chapter 7 of Genesis, beginning in verse 21, it says, "All flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, in all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, died. Thus God blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to birds of the sky. They were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those who were with him on the ark." Talk about being isolated. And perhaps maybe that's how you are beginning to feel over the course of this past week, where we have been effectively stuck in our homes alone with our families. It's nonstop interaction. You can't get away. You can't step out for a while and go do something else. You're not going to work or going to school to be around other people. And so you're feeling somewhat isolated, somewhat alone. It's only been a week. And furthermore, we aren't really confined entirely in our homes, are we? Right? Several of us in our congregation are still having to go out to work because we work in those essential fields. So we're still interacting with other people, performing those essential functions. We're still able to go to the grocery store and buy the food that we need, or the pharmacy, or go to the bank and deposit money. You can still go through a restaurant, through the drive-thru, and pick up your takeout food. But there is no doubt that this last week has been different. It has not been the same as what we are used to. And our level of interaction with one another as a spiritual family, really our level of interaction with anyone, has been severely diminished over this past week. And because of that, I've had some realizations for myself. Number one, I've realized how little I actually interact with most of my brethren outside of our assembled worship times. And furthermore, I've also noticed that I've been giving into this tendency where those who, for whatever reason, haven't been able to assemble with us on a regular basis, honestly, they've tended to slip through the cracks and go unnoticed, at least by me. Because I feel like, well, I interact with almost everybody on a regular basis. And until all of that was taken away and I began to really think about, when was the last time I talked to so-and-so? When was the last time I saw so-and-so? I began to realize, wow, there are some of my brethren that I really haven't seen or interacted with or talked to in quite some time. So I begin to realize this last week that I'm missing a lot of my brethren, and not just those who I have grown accustomed to seeing on a weekly basis, but even those who I haven't seen in a long time. And something else that I've realized that previously I hadn't given much thought to was the fact that it is incredibly easy to get down and depressed when you are isolated and cut off from others in your environment. You know, I think about what the writer of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him." The writer here of Ecclesiastes is making the observation, it's not good to be alone. It's not good to be isolated. There are great benefits that come from being with others. And I realize that, unfortunately, for many of us, that has been the reality for some time. That we have been alone, we have been isolated, we have been cut off, or we haven't been interacting with our brethren. We've been alone. And the writer here says, woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. It's not a good situation to be in when you are all alone, because if you fall down, there's not going to be anybody there to pick you back up. But I'll be honest that from my perspective, I've just always kind of taken it for granted and assumed that I would always be able to be around my brethren and be around them on a regular basis. And yet now, because this kind of isolation has been imposed upon us, I've come to the realization about just how dangerous and how bad it is for us to be alone, to be isolated. So I think what we need is we need some refreshing from one another. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men." Now, this idea of the word refreshed here, when he says they've refreshed my spirit, it's actually the same word that we had looked at previously in the book of Philemon. And turn over to Philemon, verse 7, and just notice what Paul said to Philemon. He says, "For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." And there the idea of refreshing is the idea of lifting a burden, taking a weight off of somebody by providing for them something essential that they need, giving them aid, serving them in some way. And certainly these men that we read about in 1 Corinthians 16 and Philemon, they were men who through their actions and aid and service of their brethren brought refreshment to them. They lifted a burden from the hearts of their brothers and sisters. And guys, this is exactly what we need to be trying to do in times like this. Honestly, it's what I want to do. I want to, when I see somebody, I want to go up and shake their hand. And I want to give you a hug. I want to be with you. I want to share time with you. But unfortunately, that's the very thing we're being told and instructed not to do right now. We're not supposed to be giving hugs or kisses or being around people other than our immediate family. We're not supposed to be greeting one another with a handshake anymore because of the possibility of spreading germs. And I would suggest to you that even if things change here as far as what the regulations are regarding those social distancing practices, don't expect that everything is just going to go back to normal the way that it was. I'm sure that people are going to be hesitant to shake hands for a while, to give hugs like we used to. But that's why I get so frustrated. Because that's how I like to communicate love to others. And one of my primary love languages is physical touch. To put my hand on somebody's shoulder, to throw my arm around them, to shake hands, to give a hug. And I know, for example, that we can still love one another without doing those kinds of things. But there is a sense in which our love for one another has to be more than just saying, I love you, right? John says in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, he says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Our love has to be demonstrated in some sort of real, tangible way. It can't just be words that we say. And so the question is, how can we show love in deed and in truth in times like these? Let me suggest to you that while we are each stuck on our own ark, we're going to have to get creative. We're going to have to start thinking outside of the box. We're going to have to, it may require you and me to begin to try to communicate to one another in ways other than our preferred love language, for example. We're going to have to try to come up with some ways in which we can demonstrate love and refresh the hearts of one another at this trying time. And so let me spend just a few minutes here sharing with you some suggestions of some ideas that will hopefully get your juices flowing and maybe inspire you to come up with some ways in which you can stay somewhat connected with your brethren, even while right now we're being forced to not be around one another. The first thing that comes to my mind is that you can send a note or a card or a letter to someone. So far, they haven't shut down the postal service, and I know that stamps are getting expensive, but you can write a letter or send a card to somebody. In fact, even young people, our young ones, can draw pictures and make cards or send notes to maybe some of their friends or even some of the older folks within our congregation who are shut in right now. And that would be, I'm sure, incredibly encouraging and uplifting to them. So I want you young people to understand that these things that we're talking about, you guys can even do, and they would be refreshing to the hearts of our spiritual family. You know, make a phone call or send a text. And one of the things I've been trying to do this last week is I've been trying to call every single family within the congregation here just to check in, just to see how people are doing. And I've realized as I've done that, that I've actually talked to some of my brethren more this last week than I have in a long time. Because I've been trying to be intentional about making some phone calls. You know, you could do the same thing. We ought to be checking in, especially with those who are older, those who have been struggling with health issues leading up to this situation that we're in. Because the reality is that they are still going to need the same basic things that we need. They're going to need food. They're going to need to get their medicine. But they don't need to be going out any more than they absolutely have to. And those of us who are healthier and younger, we can be checking in with them and making sure, do you guys need something? And we can run to the pharmacy. We can run to the grocery store and we can take that stuff there. We can leave it on their porch for them to have. And I'm sure that that would be refreshing to them just to know that we care about them, that we haven't forgotten about one another. But understand that you can also just call somebody just to shoot the breeze. You can call just to chit-chat. Now, I'm not a big chit-chatter on the phone. That's not me. I call because I have a purpose. And once I know what the answer is, I'm done. Kenny, I think you're kind of the same way. But the reality is we got plenty of time right now. So don't be afraid to just call somebody just to talk. Try to get to know one another a little bit better while we have the time and opportunity to do that. Sometimes text messages can be, they're good, but the written word oftentimes is not the best form of communication. And something that I'm coming to realize during this situation is that how refreshing it is just to hear the voice of somebody else. And so it's one thing to receive a text message from somebody saying, "Hey, how are you doing?" It's another thing to hear them actually speak those words. And so maybe you can't call somebody, but you know what? You can send a voice message to them rather than a text message. In fact, it might take you less time to do that because you don't have to type it all out. Let somebody hear your voice, even if you can't actually call them or get a hold of them. Maybe you could even video chat with some people. I know that that's something that we've been doing with our family, with my mom and dad, with Stephanie's mom and dad. We've been trying to video chat with them so that the kids can still see them, so that they can see the kids. And it's good to just, even though we're not physically in the same place, to see one another's face as we're talking to one another. You can even do Bible studies that way. I've done Bible studies in the past over things like Google Hangouts or something like that. In fact, Dan Peters was teaching me Greek using that method. And so we can certainly even have Bible studies and productive Bible studies via those methods. And I'll just throw this little plug in there for anybody that's interested in doing something like that. Contact me. I'd be more than happy to try to set something up like that. And we can study whatever it is that you're interested in studying, whatever it is you would like to study at this time. Maybe you could send a video message to somebody. You know, just a little recording of you telling them that you're thinking about them. Or maybe a reading a passage of Scripture. Or just saying some encouraging words. There are also, I've noticed a lot of people are live streaming a lot of things these days. And there are some good opportunities of some live streams that you could watch and that would be encouraging to you. And I know that the brethren who tried to put those things on, that they themselves are encouraged and refreshed when they see people engaged to the limited extent that you can be engaged in that as we're trying to find ways to encourage and strengthen one another throughout this time. I want to remind us, though, that we cannot forget to pray for one another and pray with one another. And let me tell you, you can pray with one another even if you can't physically be in the same room with one another. Any time that I've been out of town traveling for work or for going somewhere for a gospel meeting or even when I went to that preacher training camp, this last summer. Every night, I would call Steph at bedtime, and we would have family prayers over the phone, all four of us together. And so you can call somebody, and you can pray with them and for them and pray together over the phone. It is possible. It may seem a little bit awkward and unusual at first, but guys, we're living in awkward, unusual times. So give it a try. And let's be as connected as we can be. And then I would like to say, finally, in these times where you're stuck at home with your family, don't look at that as a negative. Take full advantage of the time that you have with your family. Focus on your family right now. And I actually have more that I want to say about that, but I'm going to reserve that for next week, Lord willing, and talk about some things that we could do with our families that will be encouraging to us then. You know, there's probably many more things that we could add to our list of ideas of ways in which we could try to encourage and refresh one another. And I would encourage you, feel free to add to this list. Whatever ideas you come up with, add them to this list. Share that with your spiritual family here. And let's see if we can't find some ways in which we can encourage and strengthen and refresh one another during this time. But whatever it is that you do, try to do what you can. And let's close with one more passage, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith." Now is a time where we're really going to have to scrutinize and be looking for the opportunities. But let's look for those opportunities. And then when we find them and identify them, let's take advantage of those opportunities to do good to whomever we can, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I hope that these thoughts have been encouraging to you this morning. And I want to just say, hang in there, and eventually things will get back to normal. But let's continue to put our trust in God. Let's continue to look to Him in this time and do what we can do to strengthen one another. I love you guys very much.